I think it was a good sermon for all of us to hear, a good reminder, I should say. Not, I shouldn't say my sermon was good. I don't know if it was any good. What I mean is that it's a good reminder. There's two things that we have to do basically to get ready for Holy Communion. And there's a physical preparation that we have to go through, and there's a spiritual preparation as well. Now, the physical preparations should be fairly easy. That is that you are bound to fast before going to Holy Communion. Now, granted, the law of the church is 1 hour from food and drink. That is the Novus Ordo law. And I say that to you because it is something that was done by the Novus Ordo church. And I hope that all of you will stick to the more traditional law of 3 hours from food and alcohol and 1 hour from drink. Water and medicine can be taken at any time. Now, when that law of the three-hour fast was instituted by Pope Pius XII in the 1950s, it was already a concession that he felt like he was very hesitant to make, because the former law was from midnight. And after midnight, you weren't allowed to have anything, not even water. That's how strict the church was. Can you imagine we went from midnight to 1 hour? You could be chomping on a Big Mac, and I'm not kidding, this is true. You could be eating a Big Mac on your way to Mass and go to communion now in the Novus Ordo. Because, you know, the fact is that it's just 1 hour. It's almost like nothing. It is nothing because you're in church, especially the priest is long-winded, you're in church easily for an hour. By the time you get there and Holy Communion is given, you've been in church already an hour. Is that any kind of penance? Is that any kind of preparation? No. And that's why you have to, as traditional Catholics, observe the traditional law. Let me read to you what the church said about the midnight fast, the fasting from midnight on. This is from the Baltimore Catechism, written for the United States of America in the 1880s. You should not take anything, especially solid food, for a little while before midnight, so as to be sure of the time, and also not to have little particles of food in your mouth after 12. If you find some pieces of food in your mouth in the morning when you are going to Holy Communion, spit them out, and your fast will not be broken. One drop of anything taken, even in necessity or by mistake, after 12, will prevent you from going to Holy Communion. What then are you to do if, without thinking, you break your fast? Do not go to communion that morning, but fast from 12 the next night and go the following morning. But never, never, on any account, go to Holy Communion when you have broken your fast. Never let fear or shame or anything else make you do such a thing. It is no shame to break your fast by mistake, but it is a great sin to knowingly go to communion after breaking your fast. Wow, that is strict. And you hear that and you think to yourself, well, all we're asked to do as traditional Catholics is to keep the 3 hours. And then I hear from traditional Catholics, well, Father, it's only 1 hour. Well, if that's your opinion, then you should be going to the Novus Ordo Church. Because that's like saying, we only have to fast on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. That's the law. Well, traditional Catholics know that they're supposed to keep the traditional laws of fast. And you don't just keep the Novus Ordo laws. If you're a traditional Catholic, you keep the traditional laws, even the ones you don't like. And that way you know you're keeping all the laws of the church as they were observed before Vatican II. Now, the second way we have to physically prepare ourselves for communion is by being neat and clean. That should be easy. Just because we're poor doesn't mean that we cannot be clean. There's no excuse for someone to come up to communion looking like a slob, or with their hair uncombed, or their hands all dirty and such. I suppose if you were a mechanic or something, you couldn't get the grease off your hands, that might be different. But the fact is that we have to make sure that we present ourselves before our Lord looking as best we can. How would you dress to meet a king or a president or the Pope? You would make sure that you were in your very finest attire. And I think that a lot of times the Protestants put us to shame because we come to Mass and we don't even dress up. That's so sad. Catholics have become that way. They say, oh, it's too hot to wear a tie. Or, I'm not going to cover my head, Father. You know, like as if it's such a burden. Good gracious, if you went to see the President of the United States, you would make sure that you dressed in your very finest outfit. You would go out and probably buy a new outfit. And I can tell you, the President of the United States is nothing compared to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is absolutely nothing. But you think about it, the way people dress to go to the White House and then the way they dress to come to church. There's something wrong. And I want to make sure that all of you realize when we go to Mass, we should dress up. We should make sure that we understand I am going into the house of the King of Kings. When children making their first communion come to make their first communion, they wear a wedding garment. They dress in suits, and the girls wear a wedding dress. Why is that? It's because their soul is being married to Jesus Christ that day for the first time. But every time you go to Mass and receive communion, your soul is being wed to our Lord again. Should you not dress fittingly for such an occasion? I think so. Well, make sure then that you physically prepare yourself by fasting and dressing properly. Now, there's also a spiritual preparation that we should go through for Holy Communion, and that is that first we must be free from mortal sin. That goes without saying, that you cannot go to communion, otherwise it's a sacrilege if you have a serious sin on your soul. But even deliberate venial sin, we should be trying to root out. And you can root out deliberate venial sin by making a true act of contrition. That is, from our heart, we're truly repentant for any deliberate venial sin. Because when you don't really prepare yourself by trying to root out venial sin, your communion is not going to have much of an effect on you. Our Lord cannot, He cannot give you that grace that He wishes to give you, that the strength. It's like we always say in the Catechism to children, venial sin is like a person who's sick. They're in a hospital bed. Well, it's like the same thing when somebody's sick in bed. The food that you give them doesn't have the effect that it might otherwise have because they're sick, so they can't eat certain things. Well, that's what happens when we go to communion without having rooted out our venial sins. Our soul is sick, and so it doesn't have the effect that it should have on us. This is why we so often go to communion and never improve. Finally, you have to root out from yourself any inordinate affections. What do we mean by that? We mean worldly thoughts and desires should be rooted out before you go to communion. Imagine if you were at a worldly party and there was loud music playing, there was a lot of people talking. If Jesus was trying to speak to your heart at that moment, could you hear him? Chances are not, because you're too distracted. Well, it's the same thing when we come to Mass and we allow worldly thoughts to distract us. We have this party going on in our minds and we can't hear our Lord speaking to us. How sad that is. And our Lord is trying to communicate with us at this most precious moment of our life, and we're too distracted to pay any attention to him. So make sure that you root out from your heart inordinate affections as well. There's three questions you should ask yourself as you prepare for communion. First, who is it that is coming to me? Who is coming? It is the Creator of heaven and earth, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is coming to me. He who made all things, he who raised the dead to life and made the blind to see and the lame to walk, he is the one that is coming to me. And if he did those things on earth just by a word, Lazarus, come forth, or arise and walk, what can he do then when he comes to me physically? He is physically coming inside of me. If he can work those tremendous miracles by a word, how much more can he work a miracle when he comes inside of me? It is not our Lord who is lacking. It is you and your faith that is lacking. Our Lord could make you, he could make you such a much better person. He could work a miracle in your soul. Lord, that I may see. That's what we should be praying, like the man who is blind and our Lord gave him his sight. Well, we're blind. We're blinded by this world and our sins. We should ask our Lord to take those things away. Lord, that I may see. He can raise us back to life. Give us a new chance, a new life. Spiritually, that is. So think about who is coming. Second, to whom is he coming? That's the second question. It is to me, a poor sinner. We should consider how awful we are, how many sins we've committed. We should humble ourselves, realizing we have no, absolutely no way do we ever deserve to come to Holy Communion. That's why in the olden days, people only went to communion once in a while, once in a great while. It was out of humility. Now, the church has said now, you can go to communion at every Mass, and you can start going to communion from the time you're 6 or 7 years old. But I think what's happened now is it's gone too much the other way, and we become very haphazard and very lax in our preparation for communion. St. Aloysius would take 3 days to prepare himself for communion, and then he would take 3 days in thanksgiving of Holy Communion, because he could only receive once a week. So consider your sinfulness and think of the example of St. Jerome. He had a bad temper and he went off and lived in a cave by himself in Bethlehem, and he would take a rock and strike his breast with a rock as a sign of penance. And when the priest came, when he was dying, St. Jerome was dying, the priest brought him viaticum. And St. Jerome insisted on being laid on the bare ground and the dirt because he considered himself such an awful sinner. And he received viaticum with many tears because of his sins. Now, when was the last time you wept approaching Holy Communion? Probably never. But if you think about it, to whom is our Lord coming? And we think about our wickedness, we should be weeping as we receive our Lord. And finally, you should ask yourself, why does he come? Our Lord has no need of any of us. He's perfectly happy in and himself, in and of himself. He is perfectly happy. So the reason why he comes to you is out of pure love. He wishes to give you eternal life. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath life everlasting, and I will raise him up on the last day. You think of those words. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has everlasting life. Either our Lord is lying, which of course is impossible. He is God. Or those who do not receive communion are fools. It's true. The Protestants are fools because they will not convert. They claim to believe the scriptures, and the scriptures say, John chapter 6, again and again, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath life everlasting, and I will raise him up on the last day. Well, my dear friends, let us not be fools. Let us approach communion, but with great trepidation and great preparation, realizing who it is who is coming to us and the greatness that he can do to us, the great power that he can do in changing us by giving himself to us in Holy Communion. Now, I know all of us are weak, and we are sinful, and we have a hard time preparing ourselves for communion, and that is why you must turn to Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and ask her to help you get ready. Just like when you were little, Your moms got you ready for church or for school. They combed your hair, they made sure you put on clean clothes and your face was and your hands were clean. That your mom would do that. Well, our Blessed Mother in Heaven will get you ready too for Holy Communion, to come see our Lord. Now, she can do this by praying for you and reminding you of things that you need to do. So when you get up in the morning, you say your morning offering, remember to ask the Blessed Mother when you're going to communion to help you get ready to receive our Lord. And she will. She'll tell you, don't wear that. She'll tell you, you should dress more decently or you should dress better. Or she'll tell you to prepare your heart by acts of faith, hope, and charity. She will tell you that this is the greatest moment of your whole day, of your whole life. She'll get you ready. Ask the Blessed Mother to help you prepare. You have a Mother in Heaven who is watching over you today. So let us all turn to Mary now and ask her during the Mass to prepare us to make the best communion that we have ever made in our entire lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.